It's Monday, the 30th of November. Welcome to our roundtable panel for this morning. Very nice to have you with us. Let us start off, and we'll talk to our panel this morning. We have at least two panelists. I'm sure our third will be with us shortly.
Can I just comment on the wonderful marching band version of Pink Floyd we just heard? That was really great. That was really terrific. Thanks, Rob, the engineer.
Good stuff.
Really nice.
Yeah, very nice. Well, it's getting good holiday mood,
it's
right?
It's like a halftime Super Bowl show for those who are all on downers, you know?
Sort of like me after watching the Broncos game.
Right.
Let me introduce our panel to you. It's very nice to have them here. It's very nice to have you with us. First, we'll welcome WAMC's Alan Chartok. He's now
in the building.
Yes. Seated.
I've
ready?
I've arrived.
Thank you very much. You're in.
It was great. We had a wonderful Thanksgiving, I want to tell you, and we also had a wonderful talk with Arlo, which will be on soon, as soon as we mix it, the microphones.
We recorded that?
We recorded it, and he was as giving and as great as he has ever been. So, and people were really transfixed with it. So you'll be hearing that soon, folks.
Did you get his endorsement for the Republican nomination?
We asked him about it.
And what did he say?
He kidded about it. He said, well, ever since I've gotten involved in Republican politics, look what they've done to themselves.
So he's the reason.
As Groucho Marx would say, I wouldn't want to be a member of a group that wanted me.
You can't really take it all that seriously. Let me put it that way.
Speaking of, WAMC's Ray Graff is here. Good morning, Raymond.
How are you?
Good morning. And political consultant Libby Post joins us on this Monday morning.
Good morning.
Very nice to have you with us.
Thank you.
Hope everyone had a lovely Thanksgiving and a beautiful holiday. And we thank you very much for being with us this morning as we get into the thick of it. Our last day of November. We'll be into December tomorrow. And it certainly, holiday weekend should be quiet affairs where there is no, certainly bad news, we hope, but that was not the case this holiday weekend, unfortunately. And we had a tragic event that took place in Colorado, and we'll begin with that this morning. That was a shooting in a Planned Parenthood clinic. I'm sorry, my
Friday around
just
noon.
Good. Yeah, thank you very
time.
Much. Here we go. Anti-abortion groups were quick to condemn the shooting and assert that despite often impassioned and emotional language, their years-long campaign is about saving lives, not taking them. They emphasized that there was still no clear explanation for the shooting, which was carried out by a man who was known by friends and acquaintances as a malcontent who often clashed with neighbors and had encounters with police. Grassroots activists connected with the anti-abortion movement said they did not know the man and that his name was not familiar. The man here is a gentleman by the name of Robert Louis Deere Jr., who attacked a clinic run by Planned Parenthood, a longtime foil of anti-abortion activists that has been under heightened scrutiny in recent months. During his arrest, Deere referred to baby parts to a law enforcement official. It killed a police officer and two other people and left more than six injured. You want to start, Libby?
Sure. I mean, this is for anyone to say that the anti-choice rhetoric of the last 6 to 8 months doesn't fuel these kinds of attacks. It's somebody who doesn't really understand politics and doesn't understand rhetoric. I mean, you know, this does fuel. This does give people who are a little on the unhinged side and maybe some who aren't the permission, as it were, because all they're hearing are messages against choice, against Planned Parenthood, against women. And it gives them the permission that they need in their minds to go and do something like this. And, you know, what's interesting, there's a lot of interesting things here. What's poignant is the cop that was killed was a pro-life cop, but he went and did his job to defend people at the Planned Parenthood. And, you know, Colorado Springs is a hotbed of the radical Christian right. That's where a lot of the groups are headquartered. It's not surprising that something like this happened there. And the other part for me that's really pretty interesting, and we're going to talk about this later on, a 12-year-old in Ohio, boy of color with a toy gun, gets killed. This guy, as well as all the other white folks, white men, who have been shooting up various places, he's still alive.
So this idea that to many abortion rights advocates, Alan, that it seemed like only a matter of time before something like this happened, do you agree with that sentiment?
I do. I do. I think Libby has hit it right squarely on the head. Now, these folks have been trying to outdo the Republican candidates, have been trying to outdo each other for who can be more anti-abortion. And, of course, that leads to consequences. If you have somebody who is insane and who hears this, they take it as real. And so now we have been watching to see what the post-event response is from these candidates. Now, frankly, I have been watching with one eye open, but I think Cruz came out and said that it was wrong. Big deal. I mean, because he's been among the most vicious on this. Carly Fiorina, I haven't heard much from her, you know, on this. So, so yes, it's possible to take that position. I know there are some people who really do believe that abortion is murder. They do believe that in their heads. I am not one of those people. I know that the Planned Parenthood, that Governor Cuomo has now sent troopers to the Planned Parenthood clinics to make sure that everybody's safe. Good move. And important to do that. So I think that the response of the Republican candidates is one major issue. And I get the feeling that some of them just have no sense of responsibility.
Well, wait, time out. Whoa. Why should the Republican candidate? Why? I'm amazed but not surprised that the press, including you, including everybody else, is immediately trying to tar all the Republicans with being the reason that this nut shot up people.
So is this Ray talking or is this a
this
question?
This is Ray talking.
Well, that's good.
How do you make that leap?
I want to make sure that
How do you make that leap?
Well, I make the leap very easily. I think when you make public pronouncements as a public official or somebody who is running for the highest office in this country, you have to be aware of how tough things are in this country and whether or not, and I'm quite annoyed with you, Ray.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't begun, so yeah, I'm sure you'll be very annoyed in a moment.
No, but the truth is that that I absolutely believe if you're running for the highest office in this country,
you have to say abortion's okay.
You know, you
know.
Now,
you
come
have to
on,
be
don't
responsible
put words in my mouth,
about what you say.
Do not
okay,
put,
and what
no,
have they said?
Not,
okay.
Do not put words in
I just
my mouth.
Want to read. I want to read a quote.
Okay.
Let me read a quote from Bernie Sanders.
Okay.
And we'll go from there.
Okay.
So Sanders joined Democratic primary frontrunner Hillary Clinton in denouncing the shooting and pledging his support to Planned Parenthood. But he went a step further over the weekend. He also brought up the threats posed by inflammatory political rhetoric, implicitly suggesting that extreme language in the anti-abortion movement at times echoed by candidates within the Republican Party carries some blame for what happened at the Colorado Springs Clinic.
I think that's irresponsible. If you are pro-life, you don't go kill people.
Oh, excuse me. Talk to Dr. Slepian's family. Talk to the guy who was,
what I'm saying is the killer.
Was killed recently.
No,
but they kill in the name of anti-abortion causes. They kill to stop people from providing services that are guaranteed by the Supreme Court. You know, in Roe versus Wade, they kill people because they don't like what the law is.
Then
and that's
the person,
not the way you do things in this country. That's not the way we have done things in this country. However, that's the way we're increasingly doing things in this country because people have unfettered access to guns. If this guy is mentally ill, what's he doing with a gun?
Well, certainly he had brushes with police, so that's a question, but that's a separate question.
No, it's not. It's all connected, Ray. You can't separate these
Let's
things.
Go back to the guy who shot Slepian.
Mm-hmm.
I would posit that that man is not pro-life. He is a murderer.
No, he is.
He is a murderer.
If you talk to him about his politics are anti-choice, pro-life, what he calls pro-life, and he did it to protect the unborn.
And your patent anger, Ray, about the lack of responsibility on the part of the Republican candidates is what I think we need to be talking about here, because not you, but the idea that they're not in some way responsible via their rhetoric for inciting this kind of thing. I think they are. Now, that may be a difference between you and me,
But it's a clear difference between you and me.
I think that, and me too.
Fine.
I think they're
I mean, I don't
want to
take away from what you said that it's yes, he's a murderer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You cannot be pro-life and kill people. It is
That's
very
not
simple.
True.
It is very simple.
Okay. So
then why do you Then why do you pick a Planned Parenthood clinic?
Because you're crazy.
No,
there's
there's
an ideology that is behind that that is making him do it. And we see this in several times. I'm not discounting the fact that there was not mental instability. But still, you have to have that ideology. I agree.
Therefore, it's Marco Rubio's fault. This is the leap I'm having a problem with. This is the immediate political... The bodies aren't even cold, and the left and Deborah Wasserman Schultz is automatically jumping on all the candidates to make political gain. It is cynical and disgusting,
like the Republican candidates did with the tragic bombings in Paris.
Agreed.
Okay.
Yes, and you asked before the last sort of discussion point you made. You said, so it is the fault of Marco Rubio. Answer, yes.
No, it is not. Well, the shooting at the clinic is Marco Rubio and the rest.
That is where we separate. And I think anybody who's listening to this will be on either side. And let me just say, Ray, despite the fact that I am...
Let me check the mail.
That I'm in violent disagreement with you. But I have to say that I'm glad you're here. Really glad you're here.
Really?
Oh, we're always glad you're here.
Oh, that's nice.
No, I mean for this discussion.
Yeah.
Because
otherwise we're not glad
you're here.
Yeah.
But then somebody said, Edwins wrote and said to Joe, why would you or anyone would refer to Mr. Deere as a gentleman? You know, you always say that, gentleman. So
the killer.
The killer.
Because Joe is respectful to everyone.
That's correct. And the New York Times calls everybody Mr.
That's right.
I mean, Mr. Lady.
Mr.
Gentlemen. Ladies. Ladies, gentlemen. Yeah, okay. I don't know.
My thing. In 10 years, when some doctoral student does a dissertation in the communications program at University of Albany or someplace else.
I know something about it.
Right. And they'll do a dissertation and they'll look at the inflammatory nature of the rhetoric during the Republican primaries for 2016 and the amount of violence. I think we'll see a connection.
Okay. So we'll do
John
that
Rhodes
study.
Booth.
So let me ask my...
Is it terrorism?
Let me ask my... Yeah,
it's domestic terrorism.
Sure it is.
Let me ask my
leftist colleagues. Is it
now,
okay...
Come on, don't do that.
Is it okay for a politician who truly believes that life begins at conception to say that? Is it okay in this day and age?
Absolutely.
Or will they be bullied into submission?
No, it's absolutely correct to say it if you want to say it and if you believe it. If you believe abortion is murder, you have a right to say that.
Okay, that's
all
right.
But the come on now, Ray. But the vehemence with which it is said, the way in which it is framed, the rhetoric which is used.
And the attacks on Planned Parenthood.
Is what
we can't deny that.
That's
the thing. It's the attacks on Planned Parenthood. And only 3% of all the services that Planned Parenthood provides are abortion services across the country. And yet they are slammed for this by the radical Christian right over and over and over again, and the pro-life forces over and over and over again. The majority of services, reproductive health care, cancer screenings, STD screenings and care. And so for 3% of the work they do, they're being targeted because of that.
Okay, when you say attack, you're talking about verbal attacks and not actual shooting as what
No,
happened.
I am talking about all of it.
Okay.
They are attacked. They verbal attacks give people who shouldn't have a gun the backbone they need to go out and shoot people. And that's what happened last week. That's what happened in Buffalo. That's what happened with the other doctor, I can't remember his name, who was killed in, I think, 2009.
So if the Pope, and the Pope does, say that this abortion is murder, then the Pope is also culpable to some extent?
No, wait a second. Now, the Pope is a man of great dignity who is very careful about his rhetoric. He doesn't say it to incite. It is quite clear that these Republican candidates are using this in order to win. That's a huge difference.
We cannot deny the power of language on people who don't necessarily have all the facts and who have not only a trigger finger, but a trigger personality.
All right.
And that's what we have going on here.
We have a couple of letters. Okay. So we have many letters, but let's start off in the process. Many have questions for Ray. So we'll read the letters. We'll let Ray respond, and then we'll go to a break.
Here comes one called Ray, Ray, Ray. Ray suggests that pro-life means pro-life. It doesn't. It's one of those euphemisms like right to work. Those who are pro-life are clearly anti-abortion. And by the way, it's not much of a leap to blame Carly's remarks for instilling terror. I think I said something like that.
She was remarking on a video of some question.
Which have been totally debunked, and even the people who made the videos have said they were doctored.
So. Paul says, if the clinic shooter was not pro-life If the clinic shooter was not pro-life because if he was pro-life, he would be against killing, then why are the same people who are routinely pro-life also invariably pro-war?
Well,
no kidding, and anti-gun control.
I think
control.
That's a rather broad statement, but all right,
but
let's move
true.
On. Well, is it?
Yes.
Okay,
so Peter says, the idea that rhetoric can incite violent behavior extends beyond abortion politics. For example, people who define gays as a threat to make opponents feel they have license to a preemptive attack. So arguably, the inciters have blood on their hand, and that's Peter in New Paltz. Okay, and let's see. Asa says, of course you can quote pro-life and also be for killing people. What about the death penalty? The rhetoric of the Republican candidates is disgusting and irresponsible and aimed to stir up the basest urges of their base. Planned Parenthood provides abortion and other health in capital letters services. Abortion is a legal health service. If you don't agree with it, don't get one. Thanks for the program.
Thank you.
And that's Aisha said that. Okay, and let's see here. Corrine says, to Ray, of course Republican candidates, or anyone else for that matter, can say they are against abortion. But when Carly Fiorina continues to talk about Planned Parenthood selling baby parts, when every investigation has shown that's not the case, that is the stuff that perpetuates violence against clinics, women, and the families who use them and work there. Okay. Joan says, what am I hearing from Ray? He sounds like an angry white man making excuses for the shooter. And that is disgusting.
He's not making excuses. He called him a murderer.
He called him a murderer.
Yeah, pretty much so.
It's a very different thing.
I don't tell anyone they should have an abortion because it is their life and it's their decision a woman must make. If Rubio feels it's murder, that's his opinion. But if he and the others should not make this an election issue, and he shouldn't be running for president. He and the rest of them are not qualified if they see it as murder. They get that from religious views, not to be included in our presidential elections. Oh, boy. Okay, so...
Time for one more.
One more. Okay, here we go. One more. Tim says, Ray, if a tree falls in the forest and no one is there to hear it, does it make a noise? If an issue had not been made falsely by the right about Planned Parenthood, there would be no noise about this, would there? In fact, this fiend says there would be no more baby parts shows he was tying his action to the rhetoric of those who misrepresented the facts and supported the false assertions of the original partisan video that sparked this all. They do have blood on their hands.
All right. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue with some letters and commentary, and then we'll also move on to other issues as well. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll continue after BBC News. Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel for this Monday, the 30th of November. Very nice to have you with us. Our panel this morning, Alan Chartok, Ray Graff, Libby Post, I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. And apparently you're taking us up on our offer this morning because there are many letters. And
we'll get to
the letters here and talk to
Uncle Alan, who reads the letters.
Well, Ray will.
Or tries to read them.
Alan, yeah. Alan will read the letters.
Many are related
to comments that Ray made.
Do I get to play Rich Honan today? Because this is it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well, you clearly are helping us out here by being here, Ray. And I mean that. I have great respect for you, as I always have. Great love for you, as a matter of fact. But you're just wrong. Okay. So, here is I'm as pro-choice from Tom as Alan, but Ray's right on this. Carly Fiorina aside, blaming Republican candidates for murder is like blaming Eugene McCarthy for the bombings of the Weather Underground during the Vietnam War. Libby, did you have anything?
Were you part of the Weather Underground?
Honey, I was eight.
Okay.
So I went on anti-war demonstrations when I was 10. It was the first time I got in the newspaper.
Right.
But my parents drew the line.
Okay, good.
At building bombs.
I actually knew somebody who was in the Weather Underground. Didn't agree with her, of course. But it was Kathy Boudin. Remember Kathy Boudin?
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Sure. And then there was another one, pro-Ray. I wanted to get it.
Oh, boy.
By Frank.
Why? Get them both out of the way now?
No, I wanted to get it because, you know, I don't want anybody to think that we don't read the other ones. But I can't find it. There are so many letters here.
That hate me. But
on the contrary. Jackie says, I'm listening to your discussion, as I do on most days, and
Chair
I'm appalled at the discussion and how it's focusing on politics. Where's the discussion about mental illness and the lack of care that people deserve but lack due to our health insurance system, along with all the signs that comes with mental illness diagnosis? Let's talk about that. And so you did, Jackie. You just talked about that. Grace said, the candidates applauded the anti-Planned Parenthood film. The film lied about a stillborn child, portraying the disturbing photos of it as an abortion by Planned Parenthood. Carly stands firmly behind the lies. And Bonnie says, panel, if you are pro, whatever, you don't kill people. Yes, in an ideal world, that would be true. Look around. It hasn't been close to ideal in quite some time. They're meeting in Paris now to save future lives from the self-defeating stupidity of our collective pollutions. That's pro-life writ large. Okay. All right. And Barbara says, the FBI issued warnings for Planned Parenthood in September due to the number of threats the FBI found. Some, not all GOP candidates have referred to Planned Parenthood as murderers. That is terrible. And Robert says, I'm against abortion, but the Republicans always rail against abortion during election campaigns, yet do absolutely nothing about it once in office. And that's from Bob in Milford. And Eric says, come on, Ray. Respectfully, Ray is super defensive today. The point is that if I were to hype people's hatred of either politicians or radio station folks, I would never do this, he says, and those people start getting attacked, you don't think I'm partly to blame? Do you think the cops or media will agree? And that's thanks. And thanks from Malcolm. Okay. Oh, boy. It never stops. It's really, I mean, there are tons
and tons.
All right,
well, we get the picture.
Robert says, abortion is one of those few situations where people on different sides of the issue cannot even agree on what is taking place. What is murder to opponents is medical procedure to defenders. Unfortunately, when opponents use rhetoric that amounts to a blood libel to score political advantage, that's disgusting. And add, we set all over and can lead to real murder. Oh, boy. D says, bravo, Ray. That's all.
Thanks, Mom.
There's one there from Frank.
Frank. You need to find Frank.
Frank. Okay, I got to find Frank here.
It's came in around 9:25
from Frank. Frank, yeah. Ray is right. To blame the murderous act of a mentally disturbed person on the policy position of a responsible public official is outrageous, says Frank, and all like that.
Okay.
And then there are so many of them.
All right.
All right, we get the idea.
I think we get the tenor
that
of
that was a spirited, fun time.
I know.
Check, please.
let me go to another issue, and because there is a lot to talk about this morning, many, many things to discuss, and we want to get to those as well. I mean, at the risk of just elongating this for a second, several Republican presidential candidates on Sunday condemned the attack on a Planned Parenthood facility in Colorado Springs, but stopped short of agreeing with liberal critics who say that their fiery anti-abortion rhetoric contributed to the shooting. It's obviously a tragedy. Nothing justifies this, said Carly Fiorina on Fox News Sunday. Any protester should always be peaceful, whether it's Black Lives Matter or pro-life protesters. Calls to defund Planned Parenthood, though through congressional action, have escalated in recent months amid a protracted national debate about the ethics of collecting fetal tissue for research. I meant to read that when we came back from our break, but we got caught up in the letter, so I just want to make that point. All right, let's talk about the climate talks in Paris that are going on. This is very important. Obviously, A solid majority of Americans say the United States should join an international treaty to limit the impact of global warming. On this and other climate-related questions, opinion divides sharply among partisan lines, according to the latest New York Times CBS News poll. And this is as nations meet in Paris to discuss climate change. Just a before we talk about this at large, Ari Shapiro of NPR will be doing a one-hour special this morning that will be airing at 11 o'clock, which is called, I believe, Heating Up.
Yeah, I think that's what you said.
Yes, and we will Heating Up, and we will be running that at 11 o'clock this morning. So the president was in Paris this morning and urging leaders to act and saying the U.S. is partly to blame for climate change. Alan?
Well, no, I think this is the most important story that is facing us right now. I mean, if somebody was threatening us with an H-bomb, okay, you know, or threatening to start a nuclear war. I think this is the most important story we could be covering and we could be talking about because we know where this is leading. As I said earlier this morning, Al Gore got a Nobel Prize for warning us about it. And everything he said, if you look at Katrina and you looked at Sandy and you looked at all of that stuff, you saw exactly what he was talking about. You know, downtown New York got inundated. Yeah, well, you could say, well, that was just the once in a thousand years. But as Governor Cuomo has said, that once in a thousand years keeps coming around. And I have to tell you, if no matter what party you're in, you're still going to have grandchildren. You're going to still have nieces and nephews. They're going to have kids. Are you so irresponsible that a couple of dollars means that you're not going to support the idea that that we are in deep, deep trouble as a result of this global warming? We know it. The scientific community is 100% there. And that's all you need. It's all you need to know. I think this is the most important story of the year.
What you said, the scientific community is there. You're absolutely right. But there are people who don't believe science anymore.
For what reason don't they believe science?
Because they don't want to take action, because they like the way their lifestyle the way it is. They like their big cars. They don't want to have to change.
Let me come back to you and say I wrote a column for next week's Berkshire Eagle in which I talked about the difference between the Williams College Board of Trustees, which has disgracefully not followed the advice of their student body or many people on their student body who are asking them to divest from these stocks. And the church.
What do you mean, fossil fuel?
Yes, fossil fuel. Thank you for that, Ray. As opposed to the church in Williamstown has divested and has announced that they are divesting from that. Again, you know, look, I've talked to a lot of controllers in New York State, and I always ask them this question, should you do this? And they always say, our job is to return the best investment we can so that the taxpayers, that's what we are charged with doing. Now, I frankly have to talk to Tom DiNapoli, who I have great respect for, about what his position is. But in previous times, I have talked to controllers, and that is what they have always said. So are you going to invest? Now, I want to congratulate the church in Williamstown, and I want to say shame on you, Board of Trustees. These kids know better more than you do. And after all, why are you serving on that board? For what reason? You're serving there because you want to make the world better for the students who are at Williams and for other people.
Now, you could say if you're on the board, a lot of the research done in renewable energy is also being done by these same companies. So you could say, well, listen, BP and all the others are doing a significant amount of research in renewable energy.
As always, you make some interesting points. But when you take a look at where the preponderance of the money goes and what they are doing with it, the fact that they're doing a little on the other side doesn't mean that we don't know why this pollution this is heating up in this country. We know why. Somebody has to fire a shot over their bow. And by the way, I understand why those kids are out there or those young people and other activists are out there in Paris right now raising holy hell and saying, don't give us a half a loaf. We really need to get going here. Now, interestingly, I think I read it in the Times. They are reporting that some of the new measures that were supposed to be used against terrorists are being used against the kids in order to put put a stop to what they're doing.
The protests at the talks.
Yes. There, I've said it all.
Okay.
Oh, show's over.
Well, let's take a break. This segment is over. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about other topics. And we will check in and find out more. Roundtable at WAMC.org. If you would like to get in on the conversation, roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support comes from the Albany Institute of History and Art presenting Masterworks, an exhibition highlighting works from the past 225 years of collecting, including paintings, furniture, silver, sculpture, and more. Now open, albanyinstitute.org. Skidmore Theater presenting William Shakespeare's Macbeth, December 3rd through 6th at the Janet Kinghorn Bernard Theater on the Skidmore campus, 518-580-5439 for tickets. Adams Fairacre Farms, Poughkeepsie, Kingston, Newburgh, and Wappinger, filling orders for holiday gift baskets with fruits, cheeses, chocolates, specialty foods, and more. AdamsFarms.com. And from Clear Yoga in Rhinebeck, an Iyengar yoga practice presenting a winter solstice celebration class Sunday, December 20th, 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. Open to the community. ClearYogaRhinebeck.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning for this 30th of November. Libby Post, Ray Graff, Alan Chartok, I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Well, you know, I have to say, in watching the presidential race unfold, it is amazing to me that when you see Donald Trump say something or hear him say something and you think, oh, well, that will do it, right? And then it doesn't.
Right.
And then
right. It's nothing.
So,
to it.
But you were talking earlier, Libby, about the Planned Parenthood videos that have been widely debunked. Well, the story that Donald Trump told about seeing thousands of people cheer as the buildings fell, as the towers fell on 9/11, has been widely debunked. Everyone who is covering it and has been there is on the same page that what he says happened didn't happen. One of the gentlemen was a reporter, a New York Times reporter now, by the name of Serge Kovaleski, who also has a disability, in which Donald Trump mocked during a campaign rally.
Got wrapped on the knuckles of doing it and denied he ever knew the guy.
Denied he ever knew the guy, although even though he had done profiles on him and was the reporter had covered him at some extent. The reporter has a condition that has his right arm, I believe it's his right arm, disfigured,
right.
Which in the video of the Donald Trump talking about this makes fun of him and mocks him. Now, I just ask this question. If this were anybody else, wouldn't they be out?
No, not necessarily.
I mean, we threw Gary Hart out.
Because there are disabilities. Yeah, that was different. That was the monkey business. And
That was different.
That was pure licentiousness. I don't know what to call it. But we don't
care about that, do we?
No, we don't care about it when it happens to certain people. Here is the reactionary right making the point that there is no climate change or things like that. And you can't convince somebody, or you can't convince people who are watching Trump, who are sick to death of political, what do you call that?
Correctness?
Political PC? Correctness. They don't like it. They want to be able to tell dirty jokes. They want to be able to tell, you know, to do racist jokes. And they don't like it when you're not supposed to
do
that.
So you beat up a black protester.
Right.
Yeah.
And the crowd cheers. You make fun of a disability. I'm just saying, I just don't understand at what point. Because here, this to me has become the producers.
Let me offer a theory.
Okay, that's my theory. My theory is that Donald Trump is now the producers.
Okay.
He's now Zero Mostel, just thinking what he can do to get out of the race.
Dovetailing with that, I think that the American, a segment, and perhaps a growing segment of the American population, is now divorced from reality to the fact that they can no longer make the fine line between what is TV entertainment and what is very real. And so this is now, what's coming up on the Trump show tonight?
You know, he's taken the pulpit out of the bully pulpit and is just a bully. And he's using that to garner support. He's bullying people. He bullies people of color. He bullies immigrants. He bullies people with disabilities.
Okay, he bullies
women. Okay. He bullies everybody. And it's hitting a chord with people who want to be able to bully other people because, for whatever reason.
Bravo. Because the truth is, Joe, and I advise this to all of you, go walk with the people of America and stop in the gas stations and stop in the other place and ask what they think of this guy. They love him.
I know they do.
Many people love him because he is saying, don't confuse me with the facts. You know, this is just the way that it is. And I don't want to have to not tell a joke anymore. And I don't want to have to do this kind of stuff.
When we were on the boat,
yeah,
right, we had dinner with
the boat in Europe.
The boat in Europe in Germany. There were 10 lesbians on the boat, and we all had dinner one night. And the woman.
By the way, that's
next
a setup of a joke.
Yeah, I know, right. Yeah, right.
The lesbians on a boat.
And they all walked into a bar.
Right.
And the woman next to me said she was voting for Donald Trump. And I was like, are you kidding? I was a little more colorful than that.
Yeah.
But are you kidding? He hates us. Well, I think he's great. He tells it like it is. It's all about business. I'm like, it's all about our future. It's all about my children's future and their businesses.
It's all about business.
It's all about business. It's
I
all
love
about,
it.
You know, and then her partner didn't vote at all. So I know, you know, you go out, and I know we're surrounded by people who think. And then we do go out into the real world, and there are plenty of people who don't think, want an easy answer, and like the showmanship.
But this almost goes back to what we were saying earlier in the program. There can be an ideological difference. Okay, I mean, there can be a point where you can say, I agree, I believe in this, and okay, I don't believe in that. I understand those differences, but as far as if you're writing a playbook on everything you're not supposed to do,
he's
doing it all, and it doesn't seem to impact him at all.
And my point is, he's being rewarded for that.
Right.
People are saying, yeah, I want to be free to do that. Look, there are two cases. I know you're planning to get to it, but one of them is the Woodrow Wilson Center at Princeton.
Yeah.
Woodrow Wilson was an unashamed racist. He was. He was a supporter of the Ku Klux Klan, and now the students at the colleges and at Princeton are saying, hey, this is a learning opportunity now. We have to change that. It's very hard to argue with it. Very hard to argue with it. In Amherst, Lord Jeffrey tried to give the Indians bad diseases, right? And to put out smallpox, you know, to kill them. How are you going to defend that? You're not. Should Amherst, the community, change its name? Well, there'll be people who say yes, it should, because this was a terrible thing. And should the college change its name? Yeah, probably. Will it? No. Will the Woodrow Wilson School change its name? No. So what do we come to with all of this? That's political correctness, too. You can't argue with the fact that these were bad guys, can you?
No, but we can learn from what
That's
they've
right.
done and recognize that, you know, this is the name of this, the Woodrow Wilson School. He was a product of his time. You know, because you know, I read the bio too. He was a product of his time. He, what he, he believed in terms of race relations was horrible. I'm not making any excuses, you know, but it's the Woodrow Wilson School of International Politics and Relations. And what he did from that perspective is what laid the groundwork for the United Nations.
And World War II.
And, well, you know, we can look at anybody saying they do one thing and it created
unintended
another
consequences.
Yeah, there are always unintended consequences. And, you know, I get what people are saying, and I understand it. And I was, you know, a student of political correctness when I was younger, too. But getting back
What do you mean? You were a student of political correctness?
Well, you know, I taught Introduction to Feminism, and I was in the Women's Studies
program. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
But, you know, getting back to the Trump issue, which is really what we're trying to figure out, people want to be able to be bullies. They want to be able to act out and be and act poorly towards each other. All you need to do is look at the Black Friday videos and see how.
Oh, that's real.
Heinous. Well, there was a melee at Crossgates.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. So to see how heinous people act and to be bullies, no, but this man is saying it's okay to be a bully.
But okay, but I look. A good deal of America hasn't caught up yet. They're disenfranchised. They want to be able, as I say, to tell dirty jokes and to be racist and to be anti-gay and to do all
denigrating women.
Yeah, right. and to do all of that. And there are a lot of them in that category.
There are a ton of them.
And here's the point: it's not that they want to be bullies; it's that they don't understand. They think it's okay. Hey, I'm going to give you a confession. I worked for a very liberal congressman when I worked in Congress, and I want you to know when I was an intern there, and I love this man. I loved him. And he was the most liberal man in the House of Representatives, and he did incredible things. But he always told those jokes. He wouldn't tell them now.
Bob Packwood was Mr. Women's Rights, and he was the biggest philanderer and predator on the planet.
Yeah, no, I think that's a little different in this guy. Yeah. Really was the guy who passed the civil rights law in the House and did all of that kind of thing. And yet, he thought that stuff was funny. And so did a lot of people.
So did my parents. So did my father. I mean,
yeah, but there is a different
jokes.
Time, and there is a much a different standard. And I guess that goes back to my original question of we have seen many candidates go by the wayside for far smaller. Bring your mic up just a little bit smaller infractions than this.
Yeah.
And yet he seems to do them like every other day, and it doesn't matter.
Because he's funding his own campaign.
And it's also because he is speaking directly to the people who think that they have been disenfranchised.
But he's funding his own campaign, but he's still polling. He's funding his own campaign, and he's polling
within the Republican Party.
Yes, but he's leading in the Republican
Party.
Yes,
I know, and it's scary.
He is and he isn't. If you read the upshot in the New York Times, you will see that he is thought to be number three by the upshot standards. In other words, they try to figure out the odds on all of this stuff.
That's going to be
so
Jeb
he's number
Bush
three, and the Republicans are convinced they're going to get him. I don't know.
All right. Who the upshot is we have 10 seconds left.
Let's talk after the show.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, good. You two are still talking. We'll be Alan Chartok, Ray Graff, Libby Post. We'll be back after this.